the gift of sonship. The sonship of God becomes ours not by birth, but by being born again. Won't you open your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 1, for a short reading, and we will read together verses 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The first salvation blessing in Christ that the Apostle John mentions is adoption. Did you see it in those verses? He says, all who receive Jesus Christ by faith, to them, Jesus gives the blessing of becoming children of God. But he adds in verse 13, it is not natural, but it is adoptive sonship. They are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but he says, born of God. So becoming a child of God is not the product of human will or physical descent or nationality. The Apostle John says it's an act of God. Many Jews in Jesus' day did not even believe in him, but they thought that sonship of God was a right that they could lay claim to. They said in John chapter 8, verse 33, we are the children of Abraham. John the Baptist pointedly said to those religious leaders, don't presume on that. God is able to raise up stones, or out of stones, children of Abraham, rather bear fruit that is in keeping with repentance, he told them in Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. No, the privilege of sonship of God is a privilege to everyone in every age who are born of God. And Paul adds in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. By contrast, those who do not believe in Christ, the scriptures tell us, they are not children of God and they are not adopted into God's family. But they are children of wrath, Ephesians 2. Verse 3, and sons of disobedience, Ephesians 2, verse 2, and 5, verse 6. We don't have many children here, but I can ask the same question of the adults, all of us. Have you received Jesus? I know the answer to that question for some of us, but it is a question for each one of us to consider. Have you believed in his name? Well, if you have, then God is your heavenly Father. I don't know if you've heard of the following expression, Christianity is not a religion, it is a relationship. People who say that may mean that it is a defense of the Christian faith to convince unbelievers who are anti-religion to consider Christianity as different to formal and cold religion. Or they may intend it as a correction to believers who talk about teachings and doctrines of our faith in a way that's too much for their liking. or in a way that makes them think that or feel that faith sounds more like head knowledge than heart change. Well, this expression is really talking about adoption. Christianity is not a religion, it is a relationship. That speaks about adoption. Adoption is an act of God, whereby He makes a believer in Christ a member of His family. The believer becomes a son or a daughter of our Heavenly Father. So yes, Christianity is about a relationship with a living God. But can I point out that adoption is one of a number of salvation blessings that we have in Jesus Christ? Consider the following verses. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. We've been referring a lot to Romans in this evening series, which we covered last year, so it's a good refresher. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30 says, "For those whom He, that's God, foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called, and those He also called, He justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14 also talks about these salvation blessings that we have in Christ, and mentions specifically adoption. In verse 5 of Ephesians 1, Paul says, "In love, God predestined us to adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ." So let me string all these salvation blessings together for us. Those, firstly, whom God personally and intimately knew in advance, that is foreknowledge. He set His saving love on them, that is predestination. Them He effectually called and regenerates. In other words, they are born of God. They repent and believe in Christ, and they are justified, which leads to what we're considering tonight, adoption as God's children, and they are conformed into the image of Christ, that is sanctification, and they will be glorified. These are all rich salvation blessings, and they flow to us from Jesus Christ, and they're all connected to one another. For example, in regeneration, God gives us spiritual life and justification. By faith in Christ, God gives us His righteousness and His right standing. That's what we looked at last week. But in adoption, we enter into a personal relationship with God. We become members of His family and heirs together with Christ. Does that all make sense? To understand this adoption more fully, let us consider it under three headings. Firstly, what we were before adoption and what we became. Secondly, how God treats His adopted children. And thirdly, the blessings of adoption. Firstly, adoption is remarkable, especially considering where we were before we got saved. That's a good place to start, remembering what we were before we became Christians. Once slaves, but now sons. We can add daughters of God. Listen to Galatians 4, 4-7, the passage that Matt read to us earlier. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Excuse me. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Did you hear that? We were once slaves and became sons. We see in these verses God's action through Jesus Christ towards His children. God did two things, the Apostle Paul said. First, God sent His Son, verses 4 and 5, to redeem those who are under the law, the curse of the law, so that we might receive, there's that idea, the adoption as sons. Notice that God's purpose is both to redeem, but also to adopt. God is an adopting God. Not just to rescue from slavery, but to make slaves into His sons. And He did so by the death of Christ. Paul says so in Galatians 1 verse 4. What a dramatic transformation. Second, God sent His Spirit, verse 6. And because you are sons, He says, God sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Isn't that interesting? First, God sent His Son into the world, and then secondly, He sends His Spirit into our hearts. If you're a child of God, God gave you His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your heart cries out, Abba Father, on your behalf. And according to Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, the Spirit Himself is bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. The Spirit cries out, Abba. That's the Aramaic for Father. It is precisely the word that Jesus Himself used when He prayed to His Father. Isn't that significant? Thus, God's purpose is not only to secure our sonship by His Son, but also to assure us of it by His Spirit. God sent His Son that we may have the status of sonship. It is no coincidence that the Son of God is our forerunner, so that those who become the children of God will be called the sons of God and the daughters of God. And then He sends His Spirit that we might experience that sonship and daughtership. I think it is truly amazing. Don't you think so too? So, in adoption as children of God, we transition from being slaves to sin and death, to sons and daughters of God, secured by Christ Himself and expressed by the Holy Spirit. What a great blessing it is to become a child of God. What dignity and honor it is to have God as our Father. Secondly, how does God treat His adopted children? I want to point out that the child-father relationship between a believer and God is not so much patterned after the relationship between an earthly father and child. Rather, it is more patterned after the relationship between Jesus and his own Father. Between God the Father and God the Son. Notice that the relationship between God the Father and God the Son extends to God's adopted children. According to Jesus' own testimony, let us think for a moment how he describes his own relationship with his Father. Firstly, it is a relationship of authority. Jesus said he could only do what the Father wanted him to do. He says that the Son could do nothing of himself. And my food and my drink is to do the will of my Father. John 6:38, 17:4, 5:19, and 4:34. Firstly, that relationship. What is wrong with the microphone? Can you all hear me? Is it okay? Sorry about that. Firstly, it is a relationship of authority. Secondly, it is a relationship of affection. The Father loves the Son. Jesus says, "The Father has loved me. I have obeyed my Father's commands and I remain in his love." John 5 verse 20 and 15 verse 9. Thirdly, it is a relationship of fellowship. "I am not alone," said Jesus. "My Father is with me. The one who sent me," he said, "is with me." John 16:32 and 8:29. And fourthly, it is a relationship of honor. Jesus says, "God wills to exalt the Son. Father," he prayed, "glorify the Son." John 17 verse 1 and 5:22. And all of these things extend to God's adopted children, to our relationship to God the Father. God's children are ruled, loved, accompanied by, and honored by their Heavenly Father. Consider these scriptures. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:27, "For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I have come from God." As God has fellowship with Jesus, so he does with us. That's what the Apostle John tells us in his letter, 1 John, chapter 3 and 4. "That which we have seen and heard and proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete." Just as Jesus thought of himself as God's Son, so he thought of his followers as God's children. Mark 3 verse 35, Jesus said, "Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." John 20, verse 17, Jesus said to Mary, just after he raised from the dead, "Do not cling to me, Mary, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell my brothers and say to them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, Jesus quotes Psalm 22, verse 22, saying, "I will tell of your name to my brothers." In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. We were in Johannesburg in a church where at the time there were quite a number of families who had adopted orphan children. I would like to tell you about one of them. My good friend Gus and his wife Kate. They adopted a little girl called Hannah. During the adoption process, they were interviewed twice by a social worker, after which they were being approved as adoptive parents. And then they were informed that their baby was waiting for them at the hospital, ready for them to go and collect. Driving into the hospital premises, they told us that they had the car seat for their baby in the back of the car. They were thoroughly searched, but the empty car seat was not noticed. They went ahead and they collected Hannah and they went home, expecting to be stopped at security and questioned at the exit at the hospital. They slowed down, but the guard just waved to them goodbye, not noticing that they had a precious gift in the car seat. Anyway, Hannah was very skinny and she was a malnutrition baby, partly because they did not have bottles in the hospital to feed newborns. Hannah was fed using only a little paper cup. At home, it was a joy for them to start seeing her thrive on the love and the care that they gave her. Initially, Hannah's new parents, especially her mother, struggled to step into the role of being a mum to this child that was not her biological child. But as time passed, she warmed to her little child, and the bonding started to happen. After some months and a lot of paperwork, they received an official document in the post, and it read as follows: Hannah is now legally yours, as if she was born to you. What a joy Gus and Kate had with little Hannah. I was just actually looking at a photo in the service of Hannah. She's probably about 16 years old now. Dear Christian, God loves you as He loves His only begotten Son. So He loves you as His adopted son and daughter. You belong to Him and you are His. As I mentioned this morning, J.I. Packer in his book, Knowing God, makes the following striking statement. He says, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out from them how much they make of being a child of God and having God as their Father. If you are a child of God, so how much are you making of having God as your Father? How much do you value your adoption as God's child? That brings us to the third point. Note the privileges of adoption. Dear Christian, firstly, note that you have a good and a loving Heavenly Father. If you are a Christian, all the following verses have direct application to you. Please listen carefully. Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, we read, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25,
through to 32, Jesus says, do not be anxious for your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, see, what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verse 11, if then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God gives many good gifts. We actually don't have time to think of all the gifts. I'll mention some. Don't you go home and think of others too. First, he especially gives us his Holy Spirit to comfort us and to empower us for ministry and for living the Christian life. The Holy Spirit puts in us desires to obey God and to live according to his will. He says, all those who have the Spirit of God are sons of God, and they are led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8 verse 14, the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding God's children in paths of obedience to God. Another blessing is that the gifts of this life are glorious, but the gift of adoption involves the great inheritance of heaven. Because we have become joint heirs with Christ. Remember Galatians 4 verse 7. Paul says, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. We are in fact heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. As heirs, we have the right of inheritance of eternal life, which is an imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for us. What a privilege. Further, adoption appears in the Sermon on the Mount as the basis of prayer. Just want to mention something to you which I never realized. How much of the Sermon on the Mount is built on the principle of being adopted children of God. Go and read the Sermon on the Mount, and then you will discover just all the privileges and the calling because you are a child of God. But one of them is adoption is the basis of prayer. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. You see the language of adoption right there. Because you are a child of God, you can call on God. My Father in heaven. And come to him in prayer. What an unspeakable privilege. Another privilege of adoption into God's family, and this is not always recognized as a privilege, and that is to receive God's discipline as children. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. The Lord disciplines those he loves and chastises every son that he receives. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, and we will get to that later on in our studies in Hebrews. God disciplines us for our good. Why? So that we may share in his holiness. Is that not good? And so that we may grow in righteousness and holiness. God is about a good work with his adopted children. But we also have privilege of adoption in the way that we relate to one another. Oh, the Bible is just so full of language of brother and sister. We are brothers and sisters of one another. And that relationship that we have goes deeper. It actually goes deeper than earthly relationships. It will last longer than earthly relationships. It goes deeper than the relationships that there are between angels. That's what the scriptures tell us. For we are all members of one family. Listen to how J.I. Packer describes the blessing of adoption. Certainly it is true that God is our creator, our judge, our Lord and Master, our teacher, our provider and protector, and the one who by his providential care sustains our existence. But the role that is most intimate, and the role that conveys the highest privileges of fellowship with God for eternity, is his role as our Heavenly Father. This relationship with God as our Heavenly Father is the foundation of many blessings that God has for us. Let us close with some applications. Firstly, what is your experience of Christianity? Well, maybe you say what stands out for me are all the doctrines and the teachings. And you feel you don't understand them very well. Or maybe because of all the sacrifice and the self-denial that it takes, I feel overwhelmed with Christianity. Or maybe some people view Christianity as a list of do's and don'ts. But if we take into consideration the truths of adoption that we learned about tonight, how do you think it will impact your experience of Christianity? To have God as our Father is an experience of closeness, generosity, and affection. To have God as your Father is to be loved and to be cared for by the Lord God Almighty, and to experience it tangibly and daily. If God is not your Father, then you're not his child. Then you're a slave to sin and death. It's the one or the other. Both can't be true. But if God is not somebody's father, say God is not your father, then God can become your father by adoption. By adoption. He can adopt you as his child. That is why God sent his own son into this world to redeem us, to redeem you from slavery to sin and death, and to make you his son or your daughter, his daughter, and give you the Holy Spirit so that you can call him Father. The amazing thing is, the astounding truth is, if somebody doesn't have God as their Father, they can just ask him. You can just ask God. Children, ask God. Ask him, become your Heavenly Father. He is in the business of adopting children, many children. And finally, if you are a child of God, then I pray that the truth of the doctrine of adoption will inspire your worship and your love for God and have a transforming impact on who you consider yourself to be. the child of God.